is presiding over the conference this year. So my whole thing was, okay, let me put this together. And then I contact him. Hey, I got this presentation I want to send you so you can send to the person in National. Send me an email so I can get it to you, and nothing.
Okay. You have somewhere you can back up to from that? Is there someone, an assistant for him, or is there someone you?
No. Okay. Just him.
Okay. Dude, stay on him. Phone, Facebook, email, Twitter, you know, stay on the guy.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what else you can do? And, you know, it's not how I like to do it. Are you sending just the video, or are you sending, is there a landing page involved?
I was just sending the video, the CVI.
Okay. So yeah, just the video itself. You can drop that right into a Facebook Messenger. You know, it's not my preferred method, but I've resorted to
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. That. Okay.
Yep. You can just grab
okay,
the.
Okay, I'll do that.
Hey, Barry, okay. I have a question for you.
Cool, Miguel.
Yeah. You say in the CVI, what do you think is the most powerful component of the CVI? The fact that it's personal, you're saying XYZ company, I talked to, you know, Angie Meeks and blah, blah, blah. Or that's number one. Number two, the fact that it's a sort of video custom present. I guess custom is number one. The fact that it's a video, or three, those three. Well, would you send an email that looks really slick and professional, or between these two choices, or would you send a CVI that's really, really crap that the worst person in this showbiz blueprint, the worst person in this cohort created a CVI for you that doesn't know anything about PowerPoint? That person created a CVI for you. Would you send that CVI or the really professional looking email? You have 30 seconds.
You have 30 seconds. I would get a CVI out to them. I really would. And I would just keep it simple. I would just have a picture, the name, you know, use that template. If we're going to talk about crappy ones, let's just say the one that I provided, you know, just use that one. It's great, and you can't fail on it. It's impossible to have it be crappy. I wouldn't think, you know, unless you're stumbling through it and you're not clear on what you're saying. But if you just have an idea of the bullet points, I mean, you can grab my script directly from that thing. There's no making it up that needs to happen.
Hey, Barry.
Don't worry about the email. I mean, I showed you.
I want to say something.
Yeah, I think I showed you last week or 2 weeks ago the email I sent him in. There's just a blue link in the middle of the email, just as I made this little video presentation for you. Nothing fancy. All right, who was that said, can I say something?
Tim. Hey, I wanted to say to Miguel, I thought, if nothing else, man, your video, your CVI did two things for me. It inspired me and it depressed me. I thought you knocked it out of the park. I was like, my God, and this is his first outing?
Yep.
So, but I got right on doing mine. That's what it did for me. Because I started to compare and despair, you know, I can't make one as good as that. Not going to happen.
Yeah.
So screw it. The part that's getting me, mine's ready to go, and it's a modified Barry's version. But what's killing me is, you know, all the attributes. Here's all the reasons you should hire this guy. I don't have a lot of X, Y's, and Z's. You know, I can say he's good. He's funny. But – you know, I've got a couple little ones, and my head tells me it's not enough, man. I'm not giving them enough of a reason to hire. There's not a big enough why.
Put that one out, Tim. Put it on our group or send it to us. I got to see that.
All right. I'll show it to you as it is. And
dude, yeah. I guarantee you. And you posted the great thing from Stephen Pressfield today, you know, or yesterday, you know, about the war of art. It's like, that's the thing, man. That's the that's what's running right now. And that's inside of all of our heads. But I guarantee you, as a muggle, someone on the other side who doesn't even know this is coming, who sees an artist who's putting some thought into their event already and pitches this thing out there, they're not seeing you the way you're seeing you.
I know. That's true. All right. Okay. I will put it out.
Hey, Barry, can I ask a general question about a CVI?
Yeah, please.
As someone who is going to be making a promo video for my corporate work as well as a CVI, what's your feeling of showing video clips within a CVI, and are you duplicating some information? Like on your CVI, you talk about TED Talks and, you know, certain aspects of your thing, but is some of that also in your promo video, and how do we not make them too much?
Yeah.
Can you just help me clear that up in my head for a moment?
Definitely. No problem at all putting video clips inside of your CVI. That one slide where I stack a bunch of photos, I've tested that thing back and forth over the years with having a video playing in the back under the voice. But I just found in the photos I could do a whole bunch more. I could talk about customized comedy, stunts using eggs, golf clubs, razor sharp knives, and you know, and I could just boom, boom. I could layer them on as I was talking about them. And in a video, it looked choppy doing that to me. But yeah. No problem. Yeah, you can lay that right into the PowerPoint. When you get to it, it just plays as B-roll under your talking.
But then in your actual promo video, you're also talking about TED Talks. And I mean, some of that information is duplicated, and that's not a big deal.
Definitely. Yeah, that's not a problem.
You say it looks choppy to you, Barry.
One of the big assumptions is that people read or see everything we send them. We're lucky if they ever see something twice. That would be great. Yeah. What was that, John? I'm sorry, you said something.
Barry, first you said you tested it, the video and the photos, the, you know, photos and the CBI, but then you said it looked choppy to me. So which was it? Did you really test it, you know, A-B testing on clients, or did you
I've sent out CVIs with the video and with the pictures, and to me, the video just didn't look as good to me. It didn't play as well. So I don't know for sure that I ever marked, I got this gig with the videos. I wasn't testing it that closely.
Okay.
I was testing it, but I wasn't recording it. Yeah.
Well, Barry, at one point you send the CVI, is it when they're after your second call that they're somewhat interested? I mean, it's like an investment of time. So when, how interested should they be before you send a CVI? Because it's a lot of work. I'm just wondering what when that return on investment comes into play.
Yeah, by the time I send a CVI to someone, I know that they have a budget either by they've told me or I know where their event's happening. I know who they've had last year. You know, there's enough pieces in place for me to say, yeah, I'm going to make these guys a CVI because this is a good one. And besides that, I would just send them a page with a generic CVI on it. You know, you can do that if you're working in, like, up in your area. If you want to do events for Pacific Northwest Toms, you could do a killer GVI that you would never have to change, and all that your person would have to change is putting the logo of the company, you know, on the page, and then some text that just says, "Hey, great to speak with you today. Here's a video about the events that Thomas does in the Pacific Northwest." Beautiful, not a problem to do that.
Could you post the steps? I apologize for being so elementary, but once the CVI is done within PowerPoint, how to save it so it can be posted, like even to save it to share it with the group on Facebook? That's where I'm getting stuck. How do you, it's done?
Yeah, Victor, I'm putting this training right on after our call. It'll be on our Facebook group for you.
Thank you very much.
Yep, that'll be good. So Thomas,
hey, Victor, you don't need to
don't make CVIs for everybody. It turns into too much work by the time you make one of those. That's why I put it fifth in the sales cycle. You know, we got the initial call, we got the graphic, we have the thinking about your event. We got the second phone call where I can hear a little bit more about your event, and then. Yeah, then I know I'm going to do a CVI. And if I'm not going to do a CVI, you know, you decide how you're going to do after that. But you can do a written proposal. You can do it on the phone. You can say, do you want to move forward with the date? But nothing has the impact of them getting an unexpected video like that, seeing this presentation, and having a clear call to action at the end.
Very.
All right. And I see Mr. Disney joined us. Patrick.
That's...
from the law office. That was good, man. Yeah. Congratulations on what you're doing with the Connection Challenge, man. That's really good to see.
This stuff seems like it's starting to work. I mean, I got this stuff with Rocket Matter. We've been talking for like once a month or so. And then now this thing with Disney, I've got people emailing me about it. And part of me feels like I'm not ready for this stuff. Or what do I do next? I only have a website for this stuff. I feel like I'm letting my mouth overload my behind where I'm not actually able to deliver just yet. I'm a little taken aback by it. I don't know exactly how I should go on. It's causing me to want to shut down.
Good. Yeah, and it's a unique situation. I'm going to follow up with you. We're going to do a little conversation again this week. I know we had one last week, so we'll get that lined up for what you need to do. I know exactly where that needs to go, so. And we'll post the results. And then, Ian, I'm set up with you. I think we're doing it. Do we set up a time on Thursday? We're making that page for the F1 group, for the F1. Ian, are you? Oh, you're muted.
Yeah, sorry, I'm unmuting myself. No, not set up a time yet, but let's do that, yeah.
Okay. You guys saw what Ian had put together with this F1, this Formula One. Then he finds out they have like 16 or 20 events, you know, throughout the year. And man, I wanna land that one for you and for an example to this class, how we can just grab something, we can create an idea, and then put it out and sell it. So,
I only put that on there. You said have a play with this, just make something up. You said make something up, so I made that up. By the way, I wasn't serious. But let's do it.
I wasn't serious. That's,
you know.
You shouldn't be.
Just make a ton of noise.
Okay.
Well, yeah, we can make. We're entertainers. We can make stuff up. We're not giving a TED talk.
Yeah, when's the last time I made up my TED talks? When's the last time you guys went on stage without making something up? You know, hey, somebody's moving some wires or something. Can you mute yourself if you're not talking? That'd be great because I know at least a couple people on here have some challenges with that.
So, Barry, Dawn has a question. She's not here, but she has a question. I'm not only a magician, I'm a mentalist. Right. And she's at the doctor's office, and she wants to know, how does the pitch differ when it's a producer who you're pitching to, and how would the CVI change? And third part of the question is, when the person speaks a different language.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to mute everybody. Let me just do that because that noise is.
Yeah.
I'm picturing this noise coming inside of Thomas's brain, and I'm hallucinating.
It's not Thomas.
I know. It's not. Everyone else is muted. Let me just mute everybody, and then we'll. If you're talking, you can unmute yourself. That works out better. More. Oh come on! I don't do that. Dang it! Oh, here we go. Yeah, just unmute yourself in a second, John. Sweet quiet. Thank you. Yeah, go ahead, John. Unmute yourself. That's fine.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying Dawn has a question. It's actually in the chat, but basically, how does the CVI change when it's to a producer?
Yep.
And two, when they speak a different language? And three.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does the pitch different?
Yep. Yeah. So we can make a CVI for a producer, but it's not for a particular event. That's just an introduction. We would just do that to introduce ourselves to that production company. And that's a great way to do it. You could still use most of the information on that CVI. We just wouldn't make it about a particular event. I make CVIs for gigs that I'm booking through producers. No problem. So there's two kinds of CVIs. One's to an end client, the person who's actually having the event, like the one Dawn did. And then the other is, say, Blue Moon Talent was booking that event. You're going to make the CVI, but just on that one slide where it comes down, I was talking to Jim at Blue Moon Talent, and you're still making it for the end client, but you're not referencing contacting you or that you've spoken to that end client. It's a subtle change. But I have samples of that. That's actually on, I think, the page, the week three module. I have a CVI for an end client and a CVI for a producer. You can see those, the differences in both. Was there a third part to that?
Yes, in a different language. Let's say there's an event in China or North Korea. How do you send the CVI in a different language?
Do it in English. Yeah. I mean, unless you're going to do your show in that language, man, I don't know. I would, I'd be doing that thing in English. Someone's going to speak English along the way, sadly. Yeah. All right. These things I'm going to address all at the end. Right now, I want to spend. Oh, what's this now? Let's see. I wonder if this is something I needed. Oh, no, this was something I already did. Okay. Sorry, let me get that one undone. All right, write down your questions for a second. I want to take pause for a second here, and I want to do something that's a little bit different. I want to get some motivation that makes sense behind us here. So if you're not in a doctor's office or not driving, If you can, if you're able to, close your eyes for a second. I want to just walk you guys through a little exercise that I think will help us with some of what we're doing here. So there is a lot to do in this world right now, in this business that we're
Barry, before you get going,
mm-hmm.
I have a question regarding the homework for the second day. How are you different? The last question or sub-question of this, I don't understand. It says, am I asking myself this or am I asking a producer this? What? I don't have experience with producers, so whenever someone talks about a producer or agent, most of it flies over my head. What differentiates you from all other agents I work for? I'd like to know which of my personal end clients I can send your way. Personal end clients, is that people I've performed for?
Yeah, I mean, and that goes to that addresses something that, in Showbiz Blueprint, I'm very into outbound marketing. So if I get a really hot lead, I'm getting ready to book something, first thing I'm always going to do is look at my producers. Who do I want to get in tight with? And I'm going to call that producer and I'm going to say, hey, my name's Barry. I'm with Raspini Brothers. I've got this gig down to the ending. I've wanted to work with you guys for a long time. And I thought the best way to do it would for me to bring you a client. I'm all ready to book this thing. Here's the situation. Who would I talk to there? Oh, shit. You're going to have the attention of the producers really well. In that particular homework assignment, though, John, what I was saying was when an agent says to you, you know, what differentiates you from any magician I work with? Boom, I had that great line in the homework there, you know, that I talked about, and it's in the homework. And then as a follow-up, I'm going to say, what differentiates you from other producers, party planners, agents, meeting planners, so that I know the best of my end clients that I could connect you to? I'm always looking at building that bridge to them because they want business. I hope that makes sense.
It does. So I'm giving them, basically, I pretty much landed a gig and I'm just giving it to, giving the part of the commission or giving commission to the agent to set up a relationship long-term.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you're having them do the paperwork and do the connection and they're going to, that's a real powerful strategy. It's really one of the best ways into a producer's life is to hand them a gig. And I got a couple of producers I interview in the next few weeks here who you're going to hear say, wow, yeah, I love when that happens. And one of them I actually did that too. So that's why she's been part of my life for so long. So
I'm totally going to do that.
And it's great. I mean, you could find meeting planners and just connect them with a gig. It's a short-term loss of 10%, but who cares? I mean, it never matters. Good. All right. Let me do this piece here. I want to take you guys on just a little bit of a exercise where you can do some of your own work. Have a pen and paper nearby or a computer if you're going to write that way. But I want to offer you guys a new way of looking at some of the stuff we're doing here. You know, this legendary book by Simon Sinek called Start With Why. He talks about how great companies start with why instead of what most of us do, entertainers do, is what we do. Start with why we do it. So I want to take you guys through an exercise about why do you want all these changes you have in your life here? I mean, this is something you went in deep into in the application for this program. I mean, I did nothing basically but drill down your why. But here in week 5, what I'd love to hear you do is take a look at that. Why are you doing all this work? Why do you want to book better gigs? Why do you want to book more gigs? Write that down right now. What's your answer to that? And then write so that, and write what comes after that. Just take 30 seconds or so to do that. All right, so you get that, you get this, so that I'm going to do something that's going to kind of piss you off a little bit. So that, do one more, take it one more level down. And what I find when I do this, and I do this, oh my gosh, this is the great motivator for everything about why, you know, I'll have this first one and this will be light so I can, you know, make more money or something. I run every single person who does 30-day sugar-free program through this. And we need to do it here in the middle of this. Whatever, I'm going to write more free time. You know, I'm going to go a little deeper on this second one. And then this third one, do another one here, so that. This, I think, took me about four or five at least to get down to the last one, which is really my so that in my business, which is so that my family never has to experience the lack and desperation that landscaped my childhood. And it took probably, yeah, it took four or five to get down to that, so that my family never had to experience the lack. Yeah. Or desperation that landscaped my childhood. And I'll tell you, that's a great motivator. So when I have that on top of my desk in my office about why I'm doing my business, why I'm working so hard, why I do 12, 15 hour days sometimes, why I traveled, all of it was about that why. And when you get to a why, and maybe it's a few more down here, you know, maybe you need to do a couple more levels, but I'll tell you, there's one that when you get to it, you're gonna be a crying mess. You know, it's gonna hit something inside of you and you're gonna go, shit, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here to do right now. And yeah, booking more gigs, making more money, more free time, whatever, pay off bills, get out of debt. They always have a so that. And you know, the different levels of this thing, you know, these early ones can usually, are usually to get rid of some kind of anger, alleviate some kind of anger. These, you get down here, you get what's under the anger, and there's usually some kind of a sadness, or there's something that you really want, or something that means more to you than any of this stuff up here. So do this exercise, and I would love to read in our group anybody who has a why that got them to the place where they went, oh my God, that's the one that can motivate me to do this. Because I tell you, from here on out, whether you hire an assistant, whether you, you know, keep doing the stuff yourself, whether you pull a Sarah and freeze for a bit and then just say, okay, I'm going to reboot and come back, you know, and anything in between, we're going to need a big why right now to keep going in this thing, because I'm just going to keep pushing harder here. And then it's not going to be like, oh, now I can go back to my life because that thing's over. It's like, no, I don't want anyone ever to go back to sleep. You know, I just, it's not part of the plan here. So do that exercise. Get yourself a big why. Figure out something that's going to keep you going, something that's going to make it so easy to put that next step in front of the other one. And if you have some idea of that and anyone would like to share it, I'd love to hear a great one right now. And
I'll give one.
Yay.
This is just for Sarah because she dropped out just briefly.
But wow, John did yours, Sarah. How nice.
What?
John did yours. Wow.
Oh, that's great because I got stuck. Please do it.
What did you think I already said the why? Because that was no. Just the.
No, I said that was so nice. John did yours, oh. so you don't have to. It's nice.
Yeah, because I think when Sarah stopped, this might just be a coincidence, but I stopped too. I was like, well, Sarah's kind of petering out, so if she can't do it, I guess maybe I can't do it. So now Sarah's back though, and that's I'm glad to see that Sarah's back.
Aww.
Hey, John. Don't drop out, John. What are you doing, man? Nobody's, you guys, I promise you. If you
lost, no, I wasn't going to drop out. It was just
right. Okay.
My focus started to shift and onto other things.
Yeah. Stay in the game. Stay in the game and find your why that will make sense to you to keep you going in this. There's nothing easy, exactly as promised. And it gets easier every single time. Anyone else have one they want to share?
Yeah, I got one. It's really
yes, Barry.
I tend to go back all the time to the so that I don't have to go get a job. I remember years ago, I used to motivate myself by looking at the want ads in newspapers. You guys remember those things, newspapers?
And yeah.
I look at it to go so that I don't have to do this job. I mean, I've been doing this for so long that even now, the so that I don't have to, the SBP is for me so that I don't have to keep taking the same gigs that I got. It's so that I can get work less and get paid more again. That's my big so that.
Okay.
I think you need to go another level, Dan. Why?
I got a couple
you
more.
Don't want to get another job so that what? What's that? What
so that I can work less and get paid more. So that I can work less so I can get paid more so I can spend more time in the studio so that I can record music, which is my real love, so that I can create residual income so that my family doesn't have to stay in debt.
Great.
Yeah, there's a lot that's below that, dude.
Yeah, you guys, look at that one. I mean, look what's under there, you know? Yeah, as it keeps going down. And that is a way more powerful motivator than just getting gigs. So I want you to get to the one that brings you like, oh, my God, yeah, I get it. I mean, my sugar-free one was so that I could be active with my – fuck, man. My sugar-free one was so that I could be active with my son his whole life. I had him at 40, you know. That's an old age to be having a kid. But, you know, when I got that so that in place, it was like, man, I've done six triathlons now, or six long-distance triathlons now, and three of them with him. So that's so that.
Barry, I'm 54 and have a two-year-old. You're killing me, bro.
You're right.
Hey, I got you both.
I skipped those first four levels and immediately went to my kids when you asked why.
Yeah, you went straight there. Of course you did, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
In your situation, there's, you know, in your life situation, yeah, that is the obvious so that. I mean, yeah, you could have no job, no work, be independently wealthy, and still only spend a little bit of time with each of your kids. You know, just the math.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not trying to one up anybody, but I was a grandfather at 38, so I think I'll win.
No,
man. That's the other end of the puzzle, Michael. That was right. Yeah, you're just helping you get to hang out with your great grandkids. That's your
exactly.
All right,
I have three grandkids.
No,
who said that? Who said that?
I have three grandkids.
Wow.
Who is that?
Holy cow. That was you, Dan? Yeah. No, who said I have three? I'm sorry. There's so many faces.
No, that's me.
Chris.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, you have three. Right.
Me.
Okay. Four kids is one.
So I've got a why.
Yeah, let me hear that, John.
Well, we probably all got into this. Each of us got into this business because we loved the art. Not necessarily, not because we loved the paperwork and the business and the sending emails and answering, you know, the phone. But maybe the more we focus on the business and getting that mastered and handled, the more we can focus on the art. Because if you're scrambling, if you put all your energy into the art without any mastery of the business, then you'll end up sinking into this, you know, business quicksand.
Did you come up with a why that would motivate you?
Oh yeah, because then you'll be able to spend more time focusing in on bettering the art, your art.
That's awesome. Yeah,
which is what you really enjoy.
Yeah, that's a great bottom. I mean, that is why we got into this business, right? I mean, that's why most of us are here. Yeah, I was a bit unusual in that, you know, I celebrated the bookings more. That was my happy place. Okay, I want to spend too much time on that. We got a little chunk of that with the why thing. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll find one that kind of hits you right in the heart, in the eyes, and kind of goes, oh, shit, that's what I'm doing. That's why I'm showing up. That's why I'm learning this stuff. That's why I'm outsourcing, getting an assistant. You know, there's a break point in this. And to make it doable for everybody who may be on whatever budget, whatever level of technical, I'm showing you how to do this stuff. I learned it. I'm not technical. And I just always learned what I needed to learn. I don't know anything outside of the box. I don't know. That's why when you guys mentioned other ways to do it, I'm like, yeah, maybe. Not what I did, but okay. Good. Let's get run back on questions on the funnels. I know there was one from Hans about a inconsistency. I think it was in week four in the thing, and I'll address that in the group. I just saw that in our Facebook group about the letters. Betsy made those PDFs for me, so quite possibly she grabbed one out of order. But I don't think so, but we'll see. All right, who's got a question on something they're working on? Right? Yeah, hey, go ahead, Thomas.
All right, so looking at the sales funnel, I've started doing cold calls to companies that are going to be exhibiting at trade shows.
Woohoo!
Yeah, that's super fun. But my question is this. So a lot of times, you know, gatekeepers are pretty good at managing the people that they're in charge of keeping the gates for, their time. And so I find myself faced with a lot of voicemails. And I'm wondering, that initial cold call, if it goes right to voicemail, am I leaving a message? Or should I just be trying back at a later date? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, and voicemails can be great. They can be your friend. It's, in fact, it's even easier than a cold call because you don't even have to have the interaction. But honestly, you can do, hey, my name is Thomas. Wondering if you're grappling with what you're going to do to attract 2,000 new leads a day at the CES show. It's just that simple. This is what I do for my clients. I'll call you back tomorrow at 2:30. I'll call you. You know, someone had written in our alumni group, it was the greatest line, and they said they're getting this kick-ass reply from it. Yeah, this guy did it. He said he's getting 100% reply from this. He said, I'll call you tomorrow at 2:27. I'll take 3 minutes of your time. I love that.
You wrote that in on one of John, I think it was on John Finch's post, and that is the line right there.
That's awesome. I grabbed that right out of our alumni group.
And we'll sign off at 2:30.
I loved it. Yeah, a member of our alumni group wrote that in there, and he said he's just getting like 100%. He's getting 100% answer rate when he calls at 2:27 the next day, and he's just laughing to himself that he never did it. So,
love it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, use that time for a cold call without the audience, man. It's just great. But yeah, calling back, you're probably going to get a voicemail again. But so, you guys, whatever you can do to get your energy to the point where it sounds like something contagious that people want. You know, and if you're doing that standing up, if you're doing it with the, yeah, I don't know how else to do it, but just to authentically come from the inside. I'm not here to get a job. I want to see if you're what you're up for, and you know, I could kind of baffle your audiences. I could change your bottom line. Bring it from that place.
Yeah. How many voicemails would you leave? Like maybe two. That's kind of what I'm doing. Leaving two, and if they don't call back, then done with it. I mean, what are your thoughts?
My only thoughts, and this has just been such a tenement in my business, is I never stop with no answer. I go till yes or no, and that's just it's what I do. Yeah, I mean, if you get to the point where it's five voicemails, no one's answering, it's not a match, you know? Sad thing is it's just not a match, and it probably in a way saved you some time.
That is a no.
That's a no, yeah. See, it's not a it hasn't come back from the source, but it's not happening.
Just a thought.
Barry, what should be our lead time for these calls? Right now I'm calling for a show in September, a trade show.
Awesome.
Any general rule of thumb for lead times for trade shows, state conventions, that sort of thing?
You know, the amazing thing about trade shows is I've booked them all the way from a year in advance down to a couple weeks. And it's just all over the map. Do they realize, do they have something drop out? Does someone get a wild hair and decide, hey, I want to do this other thing at our trade show? And it's not unusual with repeat clients. That was on the alumni group. I did a live yesterday with a alumni who I bumped into, and he had just got back from his first trade show. I'll share that video. I'll put that video into our group. But he talked about how he just did his first trade show, and he's done a lot of marketing to get to it. And he ended up booking this very first trade show with someone who he had bumped into in real life and just mentioning it. So it wasn't even all the marketing, but now that he's got footage from one and he's got the assets, he's so much better prepared to go through and market these in a good way.
Was that Lou Serrano? Because Lou said his first trade show, somebody asked him, he had never done a trade show. Somebody at a party asked him, do you do it? He was at an event. Do you do a trade show? And he said, yes, I do trade shows. And then that was his first trade show.
Oh, funny. No, yeah, this wasn't with Lou. This was with a guy named Nick Fedoroff, a magician.
Here's a brief comment about the voicemails. There's I think there's an automation, just like we automate emails. we don't object to that, but there's a way to dial something and it goes right to their voicemail without ringing their phone, I think. So you could record. The drawback is you can't say their name, I guess, but you could record, you know, take, you know, drink a lot of caffeine and then record the voicemail.
Yeah. Did just I suggest that?
Hey, this is John, you know, talking about your event. I'll call you 2:37 tomorrow, 3 minutes right. only.
I think I suggested that in one of yours where you had a good one, didn't I? Or one of your comments, but yeah, it was like, sure, I would, great I could idea. Imagine doing that really well. I mean, especially
in
if
fact,
you're
there's a website that does this for you. I don't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
I saw it last year or something, and it just blasts, like an email blast, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm not advocating that. I don't know about that. It's outside of my world. I don't know. And we shared that link the other day.
You know, maybe it wouldn't be a wise idea to blast people with, I'll call you at 2:37 tomorrow, blast 50 people with that one. Cause then you have to call 50 people at 2:30.
Well, yeah, that's not going to happen, but you know, we work in a high ROI business. And really in these early days, our work is to test and find out what works for us, how we can make whatever I teach more comfortable, more effective, more matched to our brand. You know, be it the CVIs, be it the wording on the phone calls. There's a lot of ways to do this stuff. And what I'm teaching you is what I did. And I've seen variations on it that is just golden. Yeah, just one example.
Sorry if I took it off track.
That's fine. Good.
Oh, you were about to, Barry, you were about to go somewhere with.
Was I leaving?
No, not leaving. Maybe, I mean, to the whiteboard, take us through an exercise or something like that.
I just wanted to do that with the why thing. I think we got a good chunk of that. That was all I wanted to take you to. All right, so, that's good. Bobby, you got something else you want to talk about?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I got two quick points. One, I usually give a few strikes and if I can't at least make some kind of contact with them generally, and it kind of has to depend on what type of gig it might be. If it's a big conference or a convention or something like that, I'll put a lot more time into it. But I had put up a post in there that one of the best clients I'd ever gotten came as a result of contacting this person, this event planner for the company, for over like 3 months or something like that. And I got to the point inside my mind where I was just really kind of pissed off that this person wouldn't even, you know, give you the time of courtesy to say, hey, I got your message, but I'm not interested or whatever, something, you know. But I stayed on it, kept leaving nice messages and sending emails and this and that. Anyways, it turned into, hey, can, you know, it was a chain of stores. Can you just do a little band in one store we're going to expand this to 3 or 4 stores in your area. And then it became like, we're doing this every 6 months. Now we need 20 stores. Now we're going to do a name changeover. And it was like 40 some stores, bands and all that stuff. Yeah. So anyways, it just turned into a great client. So I try to stay on it. But the other question I had came earlier. You had just mentioned about CVI thing, you already know what their budget's going to be and this and that. So assuming you get a person and you have a conversation on it, how do you get their budget out of them?
Yeah. So a couple ways you can do that is you can find out the venue they're having at. No one's having a crappy event at the Four Seasons. So if some event's happening at a place like that, I know. If they're having 1,000 attendees, you know, a big, big group, they got money. If you can find out who they've had in the past years, and that's one of the great conversation starters. Yeah. Who have you guys had who your audience really related to? Man, they say, you know, we've had Jim Gaffigan. We've had Dana Carvey. You go, okay, I'm gonna go at this one big. I'm going to make a great CVI. I'm going to raise my price. So we have to kind of look at what they've done. They say, you know, we've had a high school band once. they get the generic page. Yeah. And then also, you know, it doesn't come up. It's nothing I ever ask about. I don't certainly don't answer if they ask me how much it costs. But, you know, if there is a time when it makes sense, do you have a budget for this event that you usually spend? If that seems like a natural piece of the conversation, I'm not against asking that. And there are times when people answer. So, you know, that's a nice piece too. You will get a feel for it. And I'm sure, you know, after as long as you've been in the business, Bob, you got a pretty decent feel of who has money and who doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, we're all different in how we approach people. Basically, the way I've gotten it myself has just been to ask, and it took me years to figure it out, but to ask who, you know, what other group or what other entertainment they've had in the years past. And that's pretty much given me an idea of where their budget is.
That's a really good way to do it, yeah. Hey, so let me ask you guys something. What would be a consensus of what would be most helpful to do for a half hour right now? Just a deep dive, either go on screen or do it or break something down. Where do people feel like, man, if I went to sleep like knowing this tonight, or even if I hung up from this call, I'd be able to take some more action right now because I feel blocked at this point.
I think this is more of an individual thing, but I feel like for me, and probably relates to the other people who are far behind, or like we feel like we're far behind. I feel like I need a roadmap. Like I know I'm not caught up and I'm not doing this week's assignments. So what can I do with where I am? How do I make myself a roadmap to feel like, even though I'm not up to date, I am still on course, if that makes sense.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, let me think about that. Anyone else have something? What's a block right now? You feel like, I know we got the one about getting the CVI recorded, and I'll take care of that in a video right after this. God, is that jacket? I'm so jealous.
Is that something we can outsource easily enough? Somebody that would help with email automations? Because I've got a lot of problems with Mongo also, and it's really kind of bogged me down to where I haven't even touched Mongo or looked at it in a week just so I can focus on this stuff. So as far as like outsourcing techie stuff, and to me, the problem is it takes so long to explain it in an email. I feel like I would like somebody that I could sit down with and just draw out a flow chart.
Okay.
Tech outsource.
Okay, what I'm going to do, then I'm gonna lay out, and I'll do another video on this, and I'll post it on our group for CVI development.
Can I mention one?
Yeah, please.
I loved last week with Corianne and the branding thing. And I've been working on that, I feel like, last, let's say, 2 years on understanding who am I in the market and who I want to be. But every time, like even today, you know, I put out my answer to the question, what makes you special? I feel so, even though I know I'll deliver better than a lot of my competition, I feel so such just a general person. You know, it's so hard to finding who am I, who should I really be on stage and to the client. What really makes me different? And then finding that sweet spot where you actually want to be in terms of performer.
Could you guys all take that's a great lesson, Hans. I love some of the ones you put out. Could you guys find one of the taglines and just play with it? It may not be the perfect one. It may not be the one that makes your heart sing out. But could you find one that you could just say, this is good enough for me to play with to get in front of a few people? Post that one. And I'll tackle this roadmap, Sarah, but I want to, and those other things too, we'll do those in videos. But Hans, what you're talking about right now, it's textbook blocking stuff. You know, it may not be, you know, like Penn and Teller, like they for years went by the Bad Boys of Magic. Did it make their hearts sing at first? I don't know. But you know, after you start using things, it starts to fit you. So find something that you don't hate, that you even like. It doesn't have to be all the way to love, or it's just taking me to the edge. But what is one of those taglines or the branding thing so you could move forward with that exercise that you just say, you know what, this is good enough? You had some great ones listed on your post you did here earlier.
I like the one I put out there on undeniable woe factor.
I know, I loved that. And that came from another client. I mean, look at that. Nice.
Yeah, the correct translation probably be unconditional woe factor, but it, you know, you could feel it translate undeniable, I think, yeah. But in Norwegian it sounds better with unconditional, but it's the same, you know, it'd be the same. It's actually would be undeniable. That's what she's saying, yeah.
Right. Yeah, undeniable wow factor. I mean, that's really fun too. And I guarantee you, you could have a lot of fun with that. Just as far as a logo, a designer could make that into a nice, a wow factor logo. So, you know, is it good enough to get going? Is it good enough for the 2018 launch season? And if it doesn't test out, wonderful. But, you know, if we're not sure about what we're marketing and selling, offering, no prospect ever will be either.
That's my other biggest challenge, though, because it's, you know, Norwegian English. I want to, I perform a lot in English, but a lot of things you do in Norwegian, chance is really bad to English. You know, it does not work at all.
Right. And how does that show up as a problem?
No, I'm trying to find things like this, though, that actually, you know, is similar in both Norwegian and English. Like, you know, I can brand the same thing. You know, I don't have to, like, brand two different.
I got you.
Yeah, wordings, you know.
You had a lot of good ideas, Hans. I remember, didn't you have a list? I remember that list.
Yeah, it's good in here.
There were a lot. The undeniable wow factor wasn't even my favorite, only because I've seen it on this magician has a website landing page seemingly for every city in every state in the U.S. And that's his sort of tag. That's his. I've seen it. I'm familiar with it. Maybe if, you know, if somebody hasn't seen the wow factor. But
so here's another thing, and this is a really good time to talk about this. The fact that John knows that another magician did it somewhere, that still leaves 99.999% of the world that doesn't know that.
I wouldn't care about that in the States.
Yeah, the 1/1,000th. It's not even what we're thinking about. You know, it's great that he knows that, you know, he's been looking in this world, but man, I'll tell you, I would just, if that's something that feels doable for you, move through the branding exercises. That's funny. You know, if I look on this thing, if I look on Google here, it says no results found for an undeniable wow factor. Oh, because I spilled.
No, he didn't do undeniable. He was just wow factor guaranteed.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, yeah, and there probably will be some for this. So, you know, yeah, so this is great. So, you know, and if it's something out in the world, wonderful. Don't worry about it, but take the steps you can. All right. So, Hans, can you do that? Can you come up with at least something that feels good enough and do the rest of the branding exercises with them?
Yeah.
Cool.
I have a question.
Hi, David. Yeah, jump in, Don. Man, you look cold. I love that.
I'm just outside. There's just a wind. If you rebrand yourself, doesn't that ruin all of your SEO and all of that stuff that we're working on this week?
Well, you know, I want all this to work together. You know, I want you to be doing the exercises and building towards this thing. You know, take steps along the way, and at the end of this thing, we're going to have an idea of, like, here's all these tools I want to choose from. Here's the branding I want to use. Here's some of the SEO stuff I'm going to use. Here's how I'm going to do the one sheets. Here's my template for my CVI, and it all gets incorporated.
Okay.
I don't see how rebranding yourself could affect your SEO unless you replace your domain, your website.
Well, I mean, if you change your tagline and you've got good SEO on your tagline, it probably could. But, you know, if you've got good SEO on something,
Searching for your tagline.
Yeah.
If they're searching for entertainer, then I don't see how it could.
Right. Yeah.
I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, just my website. I actually do have a really good inbound coming already, so
I'm
happy with that. Though,
you know how people are searching for you, Don?
I know. That's a good idea to look.
So, this is a bit nerdy, but it's free to add Google Analytics to your website. It's free, and there's a YouTube video in 5 minutes that you can see how to do it. You know, don't put it on a homework list right now if you're that kind of guy or you got someone who wants to do it. But you would never be able to answer that question with no again, Don, because it shows you what people typed in before they got to your site. And that's pretty damn powerful.
Yeah, so yeah. Don, let's take wow factor just as an example. If that were your tagline, then people who want an entertainer, want a Hans or want a Don, they likely did not find you by Googling, I need a wow factor. No. Or I need an entertainer with that wow factor. They probably said, well, for me, they usually say I Googled my city and magician, or magician near me, or, you know, Indianapolis magician. So for you, whatever that would be. But it's probably not your tagline.
No, it's definitely like contact juggling, Montreal, street performing. I've done a lot of the stuff that Sam told us to do this week. I have all kinds of articles written on other websites and that kind of thing.
Oh, it's so good.
Driving mm-hmm. into that, so.
Yeah.
Good. Hey, Barry, can I ask a branding question?
Please, Victor, yeah.
Okay, so for example, just because I am just starting out, I don't have lots of content yet. So on my banner on my website, it's Magic by Victor with just a picture of me, more of a business picture than anything else. If I'm having business cards made, should I do a photo like matching the banner on my website, have the same kind of thing for business cards, or should the business cards be something more magical that I'm handing people?
You know, brand consistency, guys, is just, it can't be overstated. People are looking, as I say, people are always looking for a reason to press the back button and get the hell out of there.
Okay.
Brand consistency is huge. So, yeah, if you get something, be it a photograph, colors, I mean, minimum have colors that coordinate. But, yeah, I mean, if it's good enough.
Be consistent.
Yeah, be consistent. You know, don't confuse people. You know, the back button is both a great thing and a curse. Our job is to not give them a reason to hit the back button. And it's hard.
Thank you.
It's hard when people have to come to make a decision. So, you know, that's why we do the copy. God, you guys are going to freaking love. You're going to love this copywriter who I have on next week. And I'm really, really trying to get a commitment out of him to join us next Tuesday. He was going to, now he's back and forth. So, but he's amazing. Okay, what else could I help you guys with right now? I mean, what could we spend a little time with going through live? I'd love it if it was something online. You know, Thomas, and have you looked on Craigslist for someone, Thomas? Have you tried that?
Well, I'm still sorting out what the proper payment is and the specifics before I start searching. Like, what is it exactly I need? And that's why the blueprint actually is very helpful, because I need to understand it first.
Yep.
Yeah, so I haven't done that yet. I'm still
okay.
Trying to figure out what it is I need and what's a good wage for it. You know, I don't want to get a kid, really. I want to get someone who's been around the block and who kind of gets it. And Craigslist, it's a Craigslist to go to now. It seems like that's kind of outdated or something. Maybe there's a new...
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't say that. I still think Craigslist is great. But, you know, number one, above anything else, I would always go for personal recommendations. I mean, that's just massive to me. A lot of people out of work right now.
Barry, I've got an idea. Maybe this is unrelated, but I've noticed that each of us is good at something and each of us is bad at something. For example, or if not good at, we're more experienced at something. For example, there are a few people in this group who are a natural on the phone, I think. And Dawn just mentioned that she is good at writing articles. She's been doing it for years and she likes it. So what if we, in the CVI, some people are having really a lot of trouble with the technical, you know, CVI making that, and others, it's kind of not a problem. What if we did a crisscross sort of thing with, for example, the person who's comfortable on the phone does my cold calling. I do person three's CVI, and person three does something, and then say Dawn writes me, I'm in there again somehow, but Dawn writes me an article, you know, seven ways to put some jazz into your event.
That's okay, John. I see where you're heading. I love the co-op, the community of it. And I know that everyone's goal here is not to do any of this stuff, but to streamline it in their business so they can be getting on stage for more money and, you know, get down to that why. You've been very generous. I mean, my gosh, I've done some things for people on Photoshop, and I think that's phenomenal. And I want you to be using this stuff to get on stage. That's the bottom line of all this stuff. So, you know, if there is someone who says, hey, you're good at this, I want to do some exchange, wonderful. I don't want to administer that, but you know, really my thing is like, what's the minimum we can do right now so you guys can hit the stage with getting gigs. Gotta go, Patrick. Hey, good to see you, man. Take care, Patrick. You know, and get this stuff working for you, because man, stuff works. I just have to keep doing it. Like the fact that Sarah did one and then stepped away. Like I just let them go, oh my God, I wish I was in Boston to go shake her. And, you know, instead of like the second you sent that one, you know, you got the template 90% written. You look up who's doing it in Rhode Island or New Hampshire, New York, change the names and get it out to all those people. Because every time we book one of these things, a show is never about the show. The show is always about what opportunities can I bring out of it.
One thing I just wanted to add or ask you as well, your advice, Barry, but this might relate to you, Thomas. You know, I had found a VA a couple times, different people, and I had actually done Skype interviews. And now when I use a VA, which is not as much as I used to use it, I like to talk to her. She, you know, a lot of people just are averse to the phone, but with a VA, I sit down and I talk to them face to face, like we're talking here, so that I can kind of gauge if she's understanding me or if she's got any questions and kind of develop a relationship. But yet I don't have to have her personally be right there next to me or be in my local area or whatever. So I don't know, you may want to consider trying something like that, because that's worked for me. That's my
okay.
Yeah, this is good. I just found someone in Portland, Thomas, that would be probably worth looking at.
Who were you talking to, Thomas? Sorry.
I'm sorry, yeah, Thomas, who was in Portland, you know, looking for VA. I just looked on Craigslist, and I'm like, oh, here's a great person. You know, at least have a conversation with and find out if they're not right. I'll send that link in the follow-up here in the notes.
Is the advantage of that they speak English native? They speak, you know, they're... Whereas if you go on Upwork, there may be, is that the advantage of doing it?
Well, Thomas is just saying at the beginning, he wants someone, you know, that he can meet with once a week who's local. We can, and that's great. You know, I love that. And I just commented that'd be my worst nightmare. But you know, that's perfect that we all get to figure out who we are and how we want to work best. You know, my two VAs are in Minnesota and in Wisconsin, and that's barely far enough away from me, you know. That's all right. You know, they get the job done and I use screen captures to show them what to do. And it's just there.
Mine are in Bangladesh.
Bangladesh.
That's right.
Yeah. That's and that's all right. Hey, Judy.
It is. It works. Works for me.
I love that. My guy who does all my video editing is in Serbia. So at the end of the day, I put in what I need and I wake, then I go to sleep and then I wake up in the morning and all the videos are just sitting in a Dropbox. It's not
right.
You know, we're literally filling the 24 hours of the day.
Yeah, but I've outsourced some stuff over to there too, some web work and this and that over to India. And then when you need stuff done or you need to go over things, then you're on opposite times of the clock. And sometimes it's also, it can be tricky to get together with people.
I've had good luck so far, but both of my VAs have been fairly responsive. Like, you know, it's like they don't sleep a lot. That's what it feels like anyway. But yeah, I hear you because of the time zone differences. Sure.
Yeah.
What kind of, just, you know, for the benefit of all of us, when you're outsourcing, what kind of stuff are you outsourcing and how much are you paying for it?
Well, I have one person, I mentioned this early on. I have one person that I have that's managing my Twitter and my Instagram account. So they're posting things on my behalf, you know, pretending they're me, marketing me, responding to messages, trying to drive traffic to my website. And the one I just hired, she's going to be more of an admin, managing my gig schedule, updating things on my website. And then as we go on, I'll be giving her more tasks. Stuff that, you know, that I barely have time to get to.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to do, that's awesome. I'm going to do something right now that has to do with what Sarah asked for, kind of a roadmap. And I want Thomas, yeah, you're still here. Because Thomas, it's funny, you know, working with you, and maybe some other people are kind of in a situation that feels like this. Like we've been kind of going back and forth with Thomas about the corporate thing, and do I want to do it? And, you know, am I that guy, or I was in that world? I don't want to be in that world. So, you know, it's funny. The message is bound to be mixed because it's mixed inside of you, really. So, you know, it's the very first thing on this roadmap. What I want to put on here is just what would it look like right now to have outsource and Nago. Yeah, I'll get those. To have clarity. I mean, just if nothing else, and if we could just start with some clarity, even Sarah, you know, what do you want to focus this time on? Do you want to focus? I mean, you got the busking thing in Boston covered. We don't need to think about that anymore, right? That takes care of itself in the morning. You got awesome photos of you with big crowds and everything's amazing. Yeah. So what's the clarity on where you want to go right now? You know,
I think I've been just picking one thing, whether it's women conferences or, you know, trade shows.
Dude. Okay. Pick both.
Yeah. You know?
Okay.
Yeah. They won't take that much time. So, I mean, let's just scale one out here. And Thomas, be taking some notes. I want to come around and do something with you next. I think it'll be helping people. Clarity thing. Okay, women's conferences, trade shows. This is great. I mean, this is just so easy. So I want to have you a real doable goal. So action, one a week, and one a week of each. You know, this couldn't be any more clear, because you're going to be able to check a box when you've done it. Have I found one? And under this, is it find, connect, talk, propose. You know, and this is the five steps. So this should be easy to do. You can do this for a women's conference. You can do this for a trade show every week. And I want to take the pressure off by telling you the first couple are going to suck. It's just what it is. It's not that bad. I mean, you have to suck like I wrote last week. So next time you suck a little bit less. And by the fifth one, you suck so little, you're actually good. It's just the way it is. So can you do one of these? I mean, can you find one more woman? You got that whole template. You have everything written for the women's one. You have that. Find find another state's women conference, and then a trade show. I'm telling you, I can't wait to see what happens when you submit a trade show. Just do. You did a one-chi, right? You were in a split. So you did that. I mean, that was within the last week, so you didn't totally freeze, right?
Yeah, that was the one thing I did.
Okay. Because I was just thinking, running through my head of what I saw from you. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, so that thing, that single trade show sheet, what would help you on that? Would some feedback help on that? I mean, do you need the writing rewritten, or?
To be honest, I have been getting lost in finding the people to contact. And I know we went through it, and I kind of tried to follow those steps, but just figuring out who to call basically has been
okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Let me try something real quick with you. Boston trade shows 2018. Did I look at these? Let me just see what's here under images. Let me find one. Let's just find one.
We have Boston Convention Center.
Hey, Barry, when you or Sarah are doing trade shows, are you doing mainly theater style, where a magician might do theater style, or an aisle view? Like they might be doing close-up magic, drawing a crowd, or they could be doing a larger theater show.
No, they're usually corners, or some stages have had an audience built in, but... I mean, had a stage built in, but that's not the usual. I mean, the picture that Sarah had on that one sheet was perfect.
But I mean, are people coming in and sitting down for your trade show presentation?
I've done it both ways. I think the series I did in Get More Corporate Gigs, in that four-part series on trade shows, that we had a seated audience, I think 16 or 20 chairs. But man, a whole bunch of people just walking by a booth, stop them, and it's basically busking. It's, you know, if you've ever done busking, you can do trade shows. It's the best training in the world.
You use a microphone?
Oh, yeah. Barry? Yeah, mic and music.
So it's basically just a little show. I mean, with my hearing, I'm wondering, is it really loud or is it, you're basically not engaging them in a way where you're kind of going back and forth with each individual, like close up, you got the full show where you're in control. Is that right, Barry?
Yeah. And it's, did you watch the series in Get More Corporate Gigs, Thomas, by chance? No?
Are you talking to me or Thomas or?
Yeah, Thomas, I was asking.
Okay.
Which series?
In Get More Corporate Gigs, I have a four-part series on working trade shows. And I mean, I really take you sort of the beginning to end on that.
You can watch that again, but I thought that was more for close-up stuff, but you can have your own show. Okay.
Well,
they're all shows, aren't they?
Yeah, you're working for a company. You're selling their stuff. Sure. You're talking about their stuff. But yeah, I mean, it's your own show for those, whatever, you know, 7-8 minutes, you're doing it.
I've never done a trade show, but it seems like it's a parlor show, not close up, not a stage show, something kind of in between where you're maybe performing for 20 people who are all watching at the same time.
Well, depending on the size of the trade show, 20 would be you'd be fired at the end of the day. I mean, some of them where there's 200 people gather around your booth and it's just a big scene. It's like street performing.
John, a lot of times you'll start out with something small to get two or three people. You know, you might do it on your table and have them push a cart out or something. But then as your crowd grows, you start working up high and working it like that. So
I've done a lot of small stage shows, and those are often just like bring in two and three people, do 2-minute magic, get them to the sales agent, and then two more people, get them away, two more people, get them in, you know. That's the whole day of just hustling, though. That's a long day, but that's the closest way to do it.
It is. No, trade shows are long days. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, you can really get paid well and make some great connections. All right, Sarah, here's what you're doing. I'm going to get all alpha on you.
Yeah, do it.
This is the one you're going to do.
Okay.
You're going to come to this one, and I've not looked at this, but this is October 25 for 4 days. Every insurance conference in the world will have entertainment. I've done more than I can – I mean, from Aflac to State Farm to USSA to what's the one with the family? They're in the Midwest.
Allstate or something.
Yeah, Allstate. I mean, I got swag bags from all these companies. They always have insurance. We didn't have to dig too far for this one. I was going to say, let's look and find the people real quick. It's right under the heading here. This is how hard it is usually. You know, I just clicked on that thing. So I want you to work a little bit on that one sheet. Some of the people on here can take a look at it, maybe give some input. But really, this is the phone number that you're going to dial at some point and say, hey, you guys are having 500 insurance agents. You'll read about it and find out what they're actually having. 2018. You're going to find out just some details about it. You're having these people. You're having an after dinner. You're having a dinner show after dinner. What are you guys going to do? Or is there a trade show? Oh, this is a trade show. Right, right. Okay. So can you just commit to doing this one? And I'll follow up. I'll follow up with you on what that looks like in the group.
I'll do it. Commit publicly, everybody. I'm going to do it. Back on the train.
What's that?
Back on the train. Thank you.
Yay.
Yeah. This is not, yeah, this is a good one.
Insurance. And this is not in within Sarah's niches on her wheel. Yeah.
Not at all. And I've never done a trade show before. So it's totally, totally new for me.
Yeah, but I wouldn't know it from, let me see something. You did this SARA. Was this it?
Are you looking for the one page?
Yeah, what was that under? Let's see.
That was a comment on your live video that you posted.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Okay. And I did it. I actually did it in like half an hour, so I can make it a lot better.
Perfect. Oh, yeah. Let me see my videos then. Yeah, but I thought that one, I thought you just, for slamming it together and having a, you know, just a quick piece here. Videos. Oh, no, it was on this one, I think.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I mean, I thought just for putting it together so quickly, it had, you know, you're photogenic, you have a good, yeah, you have a good idea how to do this. I mean, dang, man. This won't be hard. You know, I would play with something that's up high and attracts people, like your coconut tree, though. I mean, you could run that right up the side of the thing and have the text wrapped around the tree. That would be really cool.
Okay.
So let's look at this, you guys. Let's trade show booth. Your trade show booth with a touch of aloha from the Flying Hawaiian Show. Your booth will literally stand above the rest with the Flying Hawaiian. Customized firms will turn crowds and audience into well-informed, entertained leads. Great. Your booth will set a new standard for generating leads. Will crowds gather beneath me, spinning 5 hula hoops while bouncing a coconut tree that in bouncing on a coconut tree increase your key bullet points into one-liners and jokes. Okay, I can help you rewrite that text into something that'll sing and make you cry. But okay. You have really good bones there. I mean, you, that the bones of that are perfect.
Okay, that was basically copying what you had on your one sheet. So.
Oh, no wonder I liked it. No, it's good. Yeah. Should have rewritten that. No, it's good.
Hey, Barry, okay. As you rewrite that, can we all take a peek at that so we can see the process?
Sure, I'll do a screen capture of rewriting that. That'd be great. You could see what it's like inside the crunching gears of my brain. That's good. Okay, good. Yeah, this is really nice. Did you do this on Canva or in Word? I mean, what did you
do? I used Photoshop, but you could probably do it on Word too. I'm just more familiar with Photoshop.
Yeah. Do you use Macs?
Yeah, got a MacBook Pro.
And what's the, there's a layout one for that, and I've
Pages. Oh, Illustrator?
Or Pages.
Oh, Pages, yeah. Yeah, you can do that on Pages.
Yeah, Pages is great and free and really nice for doing text like that. So, okay. Yeah, so maybe play with that. But anyway, I'll make a video of, let me make sure I got that on my video list here. Didn't copy this over yet. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. That's good. That's going to be get you back on. So, you know, your goal is this week, you're going to have the stuff in order to call Heather here, seminars and speaking, and just have an initial conversation. It's going to be real easy. And if it doesn't go well, it doesn't matter. There's a page of them right here.
Okay. I'll record that too. And
oh, awesome. That'd be great.
Accountability.
Yeah, there's plenty happening here. In fact, you can even add the word fall, I think, here and get rid of a lot of the early ones. Yeah. So if there's a lot happening here, don't be shy or stuck on any one of them.
Okay.
Barry, I missed it. What did you just Google?
Plus the big event. Doesn't that just seem like something that would want something big? I mean, that's just kind of fun. In fact, that's even going to be part of your story is, you know, I was just looking at what's coming to town and the big event, you know, you need a big show and that would be great. John, that was Trade Show Fall 2018 Boston.
Thank you.
Yep. Cool. All right. Big breath. Okay. Oh, John, you're writing notes, man. You're the best. Thank you for those. All right. Anyone else have something they want to dig into one more time? Open the floor up again.
Could you talk about, and I know it can be all over the board, and pricing for, not specific pricing, but how much a company might value, like if you're a conference speaker versus a splash act versus doing doing a trade show for 8 hours standing there versus a 5 minute act. I know you, it's so subjective, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, you know, it's what you bring to the party too. It's like, you know, how do you position yourself? What, do you have some credentials that make sense, you know, that well, makes people think like you're worth more?
Well, let's just say, I mean, for you, let's just say you are bringing a lot to the table. I'm not saying you versus, like, if you are bringing a lot to the table for a 5 minute splash act and Barry, you are bringing a lot to the table for the trade show, in your mind, would you quote higher on one than another? Of course, I know it also depends on the size of the conference and who it is and a million things, but with as many other things being equal as possible, I guess that's what I'm asking.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you what we did. And then 75. You know, this was kind of pricing for trade shows that we did, 12.5 for the first day, second day, and then additional days. So, and then corporate events, a handful of years in our career was 12.5 to 20. You know, that was just kind of depending on what was going on. And that's all we really did. You know, those are the two markets we did. So I don't have any.
That's with an experienced guy, right? You've done TED Talks and you've done.
Right. I had a lot I brought to the table to position it. Definitely. And I think that's what I got Tim was asking.
So Barry, can I ask a quick question? So
yeah, let me just finish this one real quick. What I get from just taking a feeling along people who are Showbiz Blueprint alumni who are in similar markets, you know, they were, you know, there's people in here who were charging $500 to $800, you know, who are now up to doing $2,500 shows. You know, that's their new appearance fee. Like, we don't talk about hourly anymore. We talk about appearance fees and, you know, for walk around magic and maybe a short bit on stage. But really, I just kind of lay out things of what you're going to get. You're going to get a walk around during appropriate times. You're going to get a stage. I'm going to handle the parts on the stage, whatever you need. Stand up hack on stage. And the thing is, we're going to let them know that whatever they need in the way of entertainment is going to be covered. Hello? Hey, no problem. You need to plug something in, Matt? No, it's fine right here. Yeah, you can plug it into that one over there. Thanks.
This Quick is Matt. Question He's about building, that.
This is Matt. He's building stairs for us.
Sorry, guys.
No, he's not. I thought you were here. No, no problem, man. Thanks.
Quick question about that. When are you offering this breakdown of what it is that you're offering? Is that after the CVI, like after you're moving forward?
No, I put this right in the CVI. You know, if I'm gonna make a proposal at that point, I'm gonna say we're gonna handle walk around at your receptions. You know, wherever there's crowds waiting, I'm gonna be there for you guys during the night of your event, and we're gonna do whatever. You know, what I can guarantee you is what I do for clients is walk around. I cover all the down periods. I do a 20-minute stand up act on stage. You know, if there's awards, whatever it is. You know, I want to massively build up the value and why you would have me, and then I just want to state the price that I want for that. I don't want to break it down, you know, it's $500 for the, you know, menu items are great, and you can offer various packages, and I know Don did that with one. My preference, though, blow them the hell away and just put the price you want. You know, that's great. Tim, you've got enough, especially if there's family events at corporate events, you have enough cred to bring everything you want to the table. What are you thinking about hitting people up for a price like that if you did a corporate? Have you done corporate days, family days at corporate events?
Yeah, not a ton, but I have. Mm-hmm.
Right, and what'd you charge for those?
Oh gosh, I don't even remember the last time I did something like that.
Okay.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
Because there are a heck of a lot of opportunities like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot. In fact, that's a great piece for the conversational call too. Are you guys have? If you see a 4-day conference and it's over a weekend and it's in Orlando, they are having a family. They're having a family event. Guaranteed, it's just part of it. So, I mean, for you to be able to offer that, you know, you have a lot of credentials. You have the equivalent of TED Talks in that niche.
So Barry, you said your preference is not to break it down and itemize it, or not itemize. But not to offer different options. What if, for example, you say, "Hey, I'm, you know, close up magic, blah blah."
Then they say, "Hey, we would love that,
and we would also, we were thinking, talking, stage would be perfect too. If you could add that, would you then raise your fee?"
Right. So, well, yeah, if you're going to have a menu of packages, you can definitely do that. The only thing I'm saying here is that if you're going to do this, have some real different price points and tell people, you know, this is my $1,000 or whatever, you know, and this is my 18 and this is my 25. What you're going to find is if you offer things like this, you're going to get more people to pick these. Lay out what you can do in these, and you know, this may sound like I'm contradicting what I'm doing. I'm just, the first example I gave was ultimately what I'd like to do is have the price you want, what you're willing to do for it. I'd like you to sell this one if you want to break it down into packages, and there's studies that show this is a reasonable idea. You know, put your list items here, you know, and fill this out. But make sure it's you're offering them things they actually need. And, you know, my desire is for you to be here. My desire is for you to have the price you want. Just say, I'm going to take care of all this stuff on the night of your event. This is nothing you have to worry about. And give them more than they even imagine for the price you want. So
Barry, can I ask a question related to this?
Jump in.
So I was, $2,500 seems pretty reasonable to me, like, say, for a trade show. But if there are guys and gals out there charging $12,500 and you pitch to someone who's paid $12,500 in the past and you're pitching $2,500, it seems like they might not even want to consider you just because it seems cheap almost, you know?
What seems cheap?
$2,500. I don't mean inexpensive. I mean, it just sounds like, like, it seems like if somebody is willing to pay $10,000 or $12,000, that $2,500 would seem to them like, I don't want an act that only charges $2,500.
Yep, you're going to lose the gig. It's not, you have
the
to
$10,000
be
a seems.
You guys and everyone in here, I will answer pricing questions to the best of my ability if you just post them to me, email them to me, or post them in the group. But I mean, I will tell you, you have to be really careful when you're putting prices out. I did one trade show in Salt Lake City, and I knew this company that was hiring us. They were the major gold sponsor. They bought the nighttime show. They bought in a rock band and a motorcycle show that did like flips on motorcycles outside. I mean, they had an open bar one night for people. They were putting in big money. If I would have charged them what I put there before, $12,500 for the first day, they would have laughed at us. But that was my highest paying trade show ever. We just did $20,000 for each of the days at that trade show. No discount. But they weren't looking for discounts, but it had to be in line with what they wanted to actually book.
They would have laughed at they were paying $2,500. They would have laughed at that.
No, you'd never gotten in the door. You can't do that. So it has to be appropriate. It has to be matched. And again, I wouldn't do a scale like this for a trade show. It's too confusing. They got too many balls in the air going on already. At a trade show, you just say, here's what I do for you. I'm going to do three shows an hour. I'm going to incorporate your top three bullet points. I'm going to bring in crowds that are bigger than you've ever seen, and here's the daily price. That you have to, on a trade show, you're not doing a range. It's like at this one, you know, I'll be like half energy. This one, I'll drink a cup of coffee and
$2,500 Coke.
But $2,500 is a reasonable daily rate at a trade show. If you're just starting in the world and you're getting going, like a company could swallow that.
Yeah, can I say I booked my first national trade show for October, and I quoted $2,500 a day plus expenses, and they came back to me and were like, that's right on par with what we were hoping for and expecting, because they had worked with a magician prior.
What size booth is that, Tom?
You know, it's a fairly large booth. I think it's like, I probably could have gone larger. It's 60 by 20.
Oh, wow. Okay. I bet you they had more money, but
this is their big one for the year. I found out after.
How many days was that, Thomas?
The trade show, I believe, is 3 days, but the exhibiting days are 2 days.
2 days. Yeah. They probably have more money, but you know, what are they going to say? That's right on budget. That's great. You know, so it's fine.
Let's go have my...
Did you book that from Showbiz Blueprint Practices or for a previous contact? Or...
Yep, you're muted. So
that came in straight through my website. Some company found me on Google, and now Barry gave me the best piece of advice. We were talking about that in the pre-interview, and he said, you know, here's what you go in, clamp some GoPros up on the trade show booth everywhere you can. Now you got great footage.
Look at that. Oh, my God, you even have my same clamp.
Hey.
Those are awesome.
Yeah.
Boom, boom.
There you go.
That's going to be great. Is that your first trade show, or you've done trade shows? You've done trade shows before?
Small.
You mean you already got the footage from Barry? You already did a trade show and got footage?
No. He gave advice to get footage and have these kind of things ready to go. And I've actually used them to film shows that I've done in the meantime.
Good. Yeah, you get used to them and how you set them and what you want and how much footage it gathers. That's great. Yeah, that'll be good. I can't wait to see the footage you get from that. You'll be able to build a 60-second. You know, when you're making a reel like that and you just have footage that's shot from different GoPros or different sources, think about a 60-second TV commercial and just like, boom, you know, the problem, the agitated, the solution, and you got all this great B-roll going of crowds forming. And, you know, we don't need long videos. We need to just to paint a picture and get somebody thinking about a possibility and then have a conversation with them, so.
I just like that John has put Tom displays his clamps in the notes so everyone knows that is the moment that I have displayed my clamps.
Hold on to that moment.
Nice. Hey, Barry.
Yes, who's that?
That was me, John.
Hey,
John Finch. Hi. I have a question. And yes. It is, and I also have a question for Tom. Anyway, Barry, the question is, sponsors, would you say, I mean, I doubt it's 50-50. 50% of the time you end up performing for the sponsor, and 50% of the time you end up doing a seminar or a talk. Does that question even make sense?
No. Wait, are you saying when I was performing more?
Well, I mean, the distribution of the sponsor. I see these websites. When I'm doing this research, I see an event, a conference or whatever, a trade show, whatever it is. And then I do see sponsors, list of sponsors. But then I don't even bother. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing. So I don't, you know, note down the biggest sponsor or the... like.
Yeah, don't. Okay, that's a good question. Don't even look at the sponsors yet. I know I showed that a week or two ago, but you know that's as a backup. Your goal right now is to say, hey, you guys are having this conference. Here's something I'm going to bring to the reception. You know, you have an opening night reception on Thursday night from 5 to 6:30, and then boom, you just go into what John Finch brings to that reception. That's it. They say, hey, we don't have a budget for it. You know, or you know whatever. You're not going to get to that on the first call. All you're asking on that first call is it all right if I email you a couple ideas for that opening night reception? Wonderful. At that point, you've sent that out. Go get an idea of who some of the sponsors are, because you're going to call them back and you're going to send a graphic to them. And then you're going to call them back and just, you're going to have a conversation about the event. They're going to have seen a graphic by then. And then you're going to propose, you're going to get yourself ready to send a CVI to them. Don't mention the sponsor thing unless you have to. If they say, hey, we don't have any money, say, hey, no problem. You know, maybe Goodyear wants to sponsor it. It's these are just all things, but don't beat yourself up with extra work. Please find the name of the event, like the one I just did for Sarah, find this one and just have a conversation. It's like, don't go too far yet. Okay. Don't look for ways to do the stuff. I have a feeling, John, that stuff feels very safe to you to be operating and finding the data and stuff. It's like, where's the unsafe stuff? Where's the line that, you know, this is funny. Like I was talking about this on this boys weekend I was just on, you know, a lot of times in life, we'll have this kind of pendulum that swings here. You know, you pull it back up this way and then you let it go and it comes this way. And we have this comfort zone here. And then it's really hard to time it to come right up to here. So typically we'll fall short, and maybe right here is making phone calls for you. And this sucks. You know, over here on the other side, the risk, you know, what if you pull that thing back far enough that you fly to here? Big deal. you're going to, next thing you know, your comfort zone is going to be here because you're going to be real used to it. So let's do what it takes to get that out there, John. Let's keep moving it out for you. Get away from this stuff, you know, doing the phone research or web research. You know, this is the realm of outsourcing. This is the easy stuff. I want you to get inside of these people, have some more conversations. I mean, man, you're doing so amazing work at just improving your conversational calling. And I know that's here for you. You know, I know when I first talked to you, you're like, I'm not comfortable having conversations on the phone. I got things with my speech. It's like, you know, you've already moved that thing so far. So get the minimum you need and then pull this thing back and make the phone call, get in touch with some people and get a CVI out the door. Like, I want to give a cash prize to the first person that just puts one out, just says, all right, this is, you put that in the notes, cash prize. Finds an event, goes through all five steps of the funnel and gets a CVI out in front of somebody. Do it for an industry you're interested in, a passion project you want to do. Just walk all the steps. I mean, Miguel's almost there. He's done his thing. He's had the conversations. He's, you know, now at this last stage, it's getting a little weird, but holy cow. Yeah, there you go. I knew it. Yeah.
But we have to be making enough calls and contacts to get them. Like you said, don't just send a CVI out unless it's worth it. Right. So we need to be throwing lines in the water nonstop.
March those four steps. Yeah. And you know, really the more pre-work you do, the more stuff, like if I come into here and I really find what's going on in Boston, this New England Home Show, and I spend, you know, 5 minutes on the website studying it, or, you know, and I just kind of say, hey, this looks like a good match. I'm going to do this thing. I know a little bit of information about it. I know they have plenty of parking. I'm not sure why that's a headline for them, but maybe this is a very unusual thing. It's a terrible headline, just for the most part. So this one's already happened. But, you know, as you find out about these things and you can find out the schedule, the trade shows, you're going to know, oh, look, Benjamin the Clown got booked at this one. Who knew? Wait, what is this? What the heck are we looking at? Oh, wow, show features. How funny. These people actually have entertainment. I just picked this one randomly. Yeah. So.
Which one is this?
I know exactly. What I click on? This was the 68th. Oh, yeah. And there's, yeah. The 68th, the New England Home Show, something like that. Oh, tiny cabins. Those are great. So. Find out what you can, though, just the minimum you need, the date of the event, what they're happening, their agenda, their schedule, and then call up, get permission to send some ideas, send that little graphic. A bunch of you guys already have these great graphics made up. What time you're going to call back to have the conversation, do that, and get a CVI out to them. Man, I want to see somebody. All right, $1,000 cash prize. I'll do that. That's fine.
I'll take that challenge. No problem.
Yeah, I'll do that. Who wrote that? That's John splitting it with me, yeah. Yeah, do some percentage of what you book. That'll be good.
Hey, Barry, really quick question here. What's another alternative besides Mago for funnels? That
Hooking up, there is... would it help? How many people are using Mago? Would it be good if I brought on Michael just for not even into one of these calls, but if I just did a private thing with him?
We had a webinar last week about Michael for us.
Yeah, Michael sent out a thing and we were all on a call with him privately.
Oh, he did? I didn't know that. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah, he sent that because I couldn't get off.
But it's online. You can rewatch it.
Wait, when was this, sir? Maybe
Thursday.
I missed that.
Yeah, Thursday. I missed that.
Where is the video post to that?
I can post it.
Are you guys talking about the video that we did or the video that Barry, the interview with Barry and Mike? Because that one's in resources.
No, this is another one he did last week.
Okay. Also, the Mago support is always very responsive. It has been for me. I've been with Mago for maybe 6 months, and whenever I have a question, they always either Sarah or not Sarah here, but Sarah Kowalski or something.
Yep.
Yeah, that's quick.
Or Michael responds. very quickly. And they're good about that.
Wow, I didn't even know Michael did that Mago for Blueprinters webinar. I wonder where he got. That's great. Okay. I got to watch that. Good for him.
That webinar wasn't in this group. Is that what we're saying? That in the Mago Facebook group, there was a webinar?
No, he sent this out, as he said, to everyone who said they were Showbiz Blueprinters this year and that had bought Mago. But I posted a link to the replay in the chat.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I see that. That's great. Interesting. I didn't know that about taxes, Mike. Yeah, I wonder if you can do a line item as a different product for the taxes. I can maybe push Michael to put that together too. Oh my gosh, I'm just looking at myself on the screen. I have mosquito bites. Nobody told me. Shit. From the freaking forest I was in for all weekend. Holy cow. All right.
So what would be another option besides Mago?
Yeah, so
I'm not there
Mix
yet.
Max. Barry mentioned Mix Max, and then there's Boomerang. Maybe
I tell you, Thomas, if you're using Gmail, you could not do better than to grab and jump into Mix Max. They very simple, beautiful tech support videos. Like they'll show you exactly how to set up videos. Here's one I used for a long time, Zoho CRM. In fact, I'm sure I still have an account on it with all my let me see, does it still log me in?
Can anyone see Barry's mosquito bites? I didn't notice them.
No.
Oh, maybe it's just me. Here.
Oh my God.
Terrible.
I want a refund.
Exactly. I have my comments up here on the iPad and it just kicked over to me. I'm like, who's that guy? That's not good.
Barry, what does Mago offer that Boomerang and Mixmax can't?
It handles like mapping. It handles money. Mixmax, Boomerang, they're not handling your money, your finance, your income, your invoicing, all that stuff. So it's way more comprehensive. And it's made for that. I got rid of my Zoho CRM, but Zoho CRM is another one, Thomas, and it's really tech heavy. You know, I almost don't want to talk to you about doing any of this stuff, Thomas. I want you to find somebody because I know I want to keep you on stage and behind that cool bar and making videos. It's like I see you and I think, you know, this course for you in my eyes is about painting possibility. But man, you got to get out of the. I just feel, and I know we have a phone date hooked up, but I got to get you out of the operating position of this thing. It's not where you need to be.
I love that. Thanks.
Yeah. No, it's good.
There All right. is something in Mago, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it converts something. If somebody if they pay, then it turns in from a lead to a gig, in which case it stops sending routine. If your routine is just follow-ups, hey, you still there? You still interested in that entertainer? Hey, just making sure you got this and wasn't lost in cyberspace. It'll stop all that if it turns into a lead, from a lead to a prospect.
Right, yeah.
So, you want to have from a prospect to a...
And also it's got full reply tracking. You can see your whole conversations there. It's a whole different game. And it takes some time to use it. You know, you have to set it up to use it. Oh, I see David just made a comment. Yeah. You have to set it up. You know, there's some time. And the time is about a tenth or maybe a hundredth of what it used to be when it was Showbiz CRM. I mean, that was trouble. That was real trouble. And Michael was in on, he got rid of his partner who he did that with and made it actually what it should be now. So, all right. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it would go too deep into the tech. I'm going to post a video. Let me just make a note here to post a video about the sequences in Mixmax, because, boy, I'm a fan of that. And that's really just for getting the content out. It's not for tracking your gigs, tracking your money, sending out invoices, showing where leads are at. That's sequences. But there is intelligence in that sequence. There's, if somebody replies here, they could get the email sent out faster. You know, it's I'll put that on here for you guys to see. I'll just share that Mixmax sequence video. They got really nice training videos on that thing.
I hope this isn't too nitty gritty, but is there a, because Barry, I've noticed in your automation that sucked me in partly, the replies that seduced me into this program. The replies were just instant. And I wonder if it would be better to have the little bot reply after 5 seconds so it looks like it's not a bot. Like maybe it's a little too instant.
Where was that, on Facebook, you mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Facebook Messenger. Hmm. Maybe it wouldn't work on Facebook Messenger, but if I use
that a lot. I have
my own thing where I use Google Labs, like you've mentioned, and the canned responses for my own, for the YouTube channel thing. Somebody writes me, I get an email. When I see it, you know, just 2 minutes ago, since my canned response is so long, I usually don't just click send, you know, fill in the name and click send, because I feel like they're just going to know this is impersonal.
Well, MixMax, another great benefit of them is it has send later. So I can press this thing, you know, and I can just come down here. I just write 45 minutes and then it schedules it right then.
Okay.
So that's a nice little piece of MixMax as well.
Oh, you mean for the automated response?
Sure. You can delay those, of course, when you're making a sequence.
Okay. So it sees, oh, somebody's just sent you a message, reply to that message. That's
yep,
the automation.
Yep, do it in 45 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
And this is really where I use templates. I know of the sequences in MixMax. I've watched the videos on them, but I don't use them that much. The templates are what I use way more. You know, these were like my post-booking, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I just had these things ready to go. Yep.
I'll just jump in. I thought that Mago was a great idea, and I like the idea of the automated responses. But I had the problem with it's like an invoicing software, but it didn't put tax in. I thought it was just a mistake, and I don't know if it's standard to be charging gigs without charging tax. And I asked some friends who also have like actual, of course, you just use a bookkeeping software or something like that. So I think I might have to get rid of it. Unfortunately, I like the idea of it, but, you know, I thought it was just a mistake or, you know, or something. I was like, it must be a new program, but he said, no, it's not in the.
I'm not using Mago for my invoicing though. I would just use that one different program. I got my accounting program one and Mago for everything else.
But Mago just those responses, wouldn't you just use the canned responses, the boomerang thing, you know?
It's fine, yeah. It's fine, it works perfectly. Mago offers a whole bunch of features that you won't get in those, and they're probably not important to you right now, really. I mean, unless you're doing a massive business, a whole bunch of bookings, it's great that it keeps track of all that stuff, your taxes, everything's available. You know, it's funny, and I know why Michael didn't do that. In America, I've never charged tax on a gig in my life, and I know that's something that they do out of this country.
Okay. Yeah, when you said Mago doesn't charge, I was thinking, yeah so what? No offense to you, but.
No, that's out of this
country. I'm in America. I guess, Mike, you're not in the USA.
Yeah, I'm in Canada. I have to charge taxes because I have a registered business, so it's like I have an HST number, so I got to charge 13%. Yep. And if I tell the client, oh, you know, so instead of $1,000, it's $1,130, it'll, you know, they'll make them balk or something, you know. So just say, oh, it's $1,000, and then you send the invoice with the 13% additional, and they write it off. I write it off. It's all. Oh yeah, it's taxes. You go to
it's
store.
Expected.
Yeah, but the fact that they couldn't put it in, I was just like, oh. Then I've had to edit each of the invoices manually again. I'm trying to get away from that.
Gotcha. Yeah. I'll talk to Michael about that again, Mike, and see if you know move that along. But yeah, it sounds like another system's going to work fine for you guys. Yeah, and I need to head out. I know some people are saying they need to head out here. It's going to get loud here in a second. I can hear the construction happening outside. But I got a bunch of videos to follow up on. I'll share those inside our group coming up here. If you have something blocking you that you didn't bring up today that you want to dig into, just drop me a line about it, please. Drop me a line about it. I'm happy to jump in, get on personally with you if you need to. Like the thing I'm going to do with Ian, we're going to do that one and record it this week. So, that's
what we're doing. I'm going to contact you, Barry, because I want to talk to you about some stuff too.
Awesome. Good. Thank you. And Miguel, you and I have a time. I think I saw you send it. So we're good with that. All right, everybody. Anyone want to check out with anything? I know we checked in with some things about what we were feeling. Has anyone taken anything away today? Something they want to commit to or just be heard on?
I like the steps that you broke down, the action week, find, connect, talk, propose.
Awesome. That comes from something that we will do as a follow-up probably later in this year. We do a 90-day money game.
Huh?
And man, it's fun. A 90-day money game. The outline of it is, on the wrong screen. This 90-day money game is we pick an amount of money we want to earn in 90 days that we want to create in 90 days. So say you pick 50,000 that you want to create contracts for. So you agree to make proposals for 150,000. And then you do this. You connect, invite, create, propose. And this doesn't leave any time for any funnels or anything. This is to hit this number in 90 days. We basically find people, we invite them into a conversation, we create, and this is what I call the CVI. We just basically jump to this and then we make a proposal. And then once we propose the money, if it's 10,000, we add 10,000 to this. If we book it, 10,000 goes up here. But this goes on for 90 days and it's very intense. But so that's a little side game we'll play later on this year. But I run these inside the alumni group and they are amazing. We've had people blow their minds on what they were able to do in 90 days when they got rid of all the, you know, the excuses, the stumbling, the technology, whatever. It was just like, find an event, invite them into a conversation, create something for them, and make a proposal. Second you make a proposal, that goes on to this amount, and you're done. There's no connection. And the underlying beauty of this entire game is the only goal when you win the game is to reach this number. It has nothing to do with this number. This number happens as a side effect of this. And this was made popular by a coach named Rich Litvin, Litvin, who I work with. But boy, that's good stuff right there. So thanks, Judy. That's good. I'm glad that connected with you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else have something they want to mention on the way out? Check out something they want to take with them, something they want to...
I appreciated the confessions today. I thought everyone was going silent because they were doing so good at everything. They were all stopped and blocked, which is a totally different perspective of like how we're all going as a group. So yeah, thanks for that.
That's really good. Good. All right. All right. Thanks everyone for showing up. This is going to kick in hard these last five modules we do. There's a lot of interaction. There's a lot of more risk-taking. And just know, like I told Judy and she shared a couple weeks ago, this is your course. This is your course for life, for moving forward, for whatever pace you can incorporate it in. Some of us are in a bigger hurry. Some of us are more technologically advanced. And like I told Miguel, man, take that walk, let the stuff wash over you and go, that's not for now. You know, there's a refrigerator and there's a deep freeze in this, you know, and like what needs to be in the fridge that we can access and eat as we're going. And what am I just going to put in deep freeze for a little while until I,
first person to go through all.
Points. All right.
Someone says, sends a CVI. So there's $1,000 cash prize.
Hey, Dan.
We can hear you, Dan.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I only muted this. I'm catching back up because I was like,
credit card.
I was in the chat. Some stuff there that I missed. And I'm reading it out loud to Amber. Good thing I wasn't criticizing you guys. Look at this. I know, exactly. Oh, man, look at this. So dumb.
I can't look at those damn mosquito bites one more second.
Yeah. Okay.
$1,000 cash prize.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Barry. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. Have a great rest of the day.
Talk to you soon,
Barry. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
We'll post some videos here shortly. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.